You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Today's top story is brought to you by the financing company Genfin. For a company that's for a country that's held a record for almost 120 years to now suddenly be going through what we're going through is quite a remarkable thing. I'm of course referring to the record for the largest diamond ever found in the world, the Cullinan diamond, of course, being found in 1905 in South Africa. And now fast forward 119 years later, we have had our worst diamond production in South Africa in 10 years. Certainly a different picture now than it was back then. Certainly a lot has changed in the world since then. And I'm joined on the line by Peter Major, Director for Mining at Modern Corporate Solutions, to take a look at the latest diamond production statistics and try and understand what's happening. Good evening, Peter. Thanks so much for taking the time. Not the best set of numbers to be having the worst production in 10 years.
No, it's not the best set. But you have to remember, diamonds are one of the most unpredictable, volatile commodities, probably known to man. It's because it's not really industrial demand as we know it, like the other metals are. With artificial diamonds, they theoretically don't need any naturally mined diamonds. So the real money in natural diamonds is for jewelry sales. And jewelry is, I don't want to say it's fickle, because women have loved diamond jewelry for tens of thousands of years. But it's very much related to economics, and it's very much related to changes in taste. So I would say your production always follows demand. You know, there's no sense producing a lot of something if there's no demand for it. It'll just sit in the ground. And so it's a very volatile demand, and that's why De Beers has a strong marketing campaign, and they have had that for over 100 years, because marketing helps increase demand. Just like if you're marketing electric cars, you know, the better you market, the better you can sell. So there's lots of alternatives now, not just for diamonds. You know, people are buying rubies, emeralds, they're buying artificial diamonds. They're buying cheap diamonds, and they're using the other money to go on overseas trips, or maybe buying an electric car, or maybe buying a new cell phone. So diamond sales are very much related to the economies, not to the stock market, to the economies of the various countries.
Peter, you mentioned alternatives, and I wonder if I could get your thoughts on the synthetic world versus the natural world. We've seen a huge increase in the demand for lab-grown diamonds as opposed to naturally mined diamonds, as you've rightly mentioned. Do lab-grown diamonds pose an existential threat to naturally mined diamonds?
Without a doubt, they do. But again, it's on the perception that these things are getting bought. So when they really started producing lab-grown diamonds on a large scale to compete with the underground, well, from the mined diamonds to the lab-grown, the competition really got heavy in the new millennium. Then they were able to produce larger diamonds cheaper than they'd ever been able to do it before. So now they could produce a 1-carat diamond, a 2, 3, 4, or 5-carat diamond. And that really looks scary for De Beers in 203, 204, 205. Now it looks like it's peaked. That sure, they can produce these diamonds for less than 10 cents on the buck for what it costs to mine one. But are people flocking to buy it? Are women and men who normally buy diamonds, are they happy getting one a lot cheaper, but they know it's grown in a lab? In fact, De Beers is so convinced that these buyers are not happy doing that, that they will pay a higher price for a real diamond, that De Beers is now pulling out of the artificially manufactured diamonds. And they're saying, guys, we're not even going to play in that ring. We want to stand way above it. You know, we're into premium nature's diamonds as opposed to fighting all you guys with your lab-grown diamonds. And so De Beers' plan is, we're just going to market what we mine, and we're going to just reduce ourselves, not to controlling the whole market like we tried to do 100 years ago and 120 years ago, maybe even 50. No, we're just going to carve out this niche that's a real exclusive nature's diamonds for man. And that That's not going to come easy, but I think it is the logical thing to do, because De Beers is nowhere near being a monopoly. Maybe they were at different times in history, but not now. There's so many countries that are now producing diamonds. There's so many companies that are now as larger than De Beers, that they have no chance of being a monopoly, no chance of controlling the whole diamond market, let alone its pricing.
Certainly very interesting developments in that space. And now that you mentioned De Beers, I want to look at the impact that the closure of De Beers' Venetia operation in Limpopo has had on the South African production side of it. I mean, that mine at some stage accounted for 40% of the country's output. Obviously, the closure of that mine in 2022 was significant on things like the production figures we're seeing now.
Look, it is. When you go from open pit to underground, you're obviously moving magnitudes of ground less, but it extends the life of the mine for another 20 or 30 years, and you've worked out the costs, so you can only dig a hole so big, so deep from the surface before you just plain have to go underground. So they haven't closed the mine. The open pit mine is becoming greatly uneconomic. It's too wide, too deep. You're having to move too many tons of waste to get one ton of ore. But yeah, it is reduced, but it's like when they closed the big pit in Kimberley 120 years ago. And look at all the underground mines that spanned around it that added another 100 years life to it. So we all hope that for Phoenicia, you know, they're taking it at another 20 years at a time. But it is good news for the country that De Beers has put a couple billion dollars into going underground rather than just quitting it when it was at the end of its open pit life. You know, thank heavens they've done that. But we shouldn't take it for granted. All the players, the community, the union, the government must realize how fragile and competitive and difficult mining is. It's not easy. It's not free. It's not cheap. They've got to get that out of their heads, that it was very rare, unique, and special that we got all this billions of foreign capital to develop our mines. And now that we haven't had it the last 20, 25 years, look at the state of our country and industry. So that's a plus. De Beers has still chosen to extend the life of that mine, to invest billions, but we need to invest alongside of them. They can't do it alone.
We certainly need to keep the investment up if we are to have the diamond sector survive. Thank you so much for those insights and for the time, Peter. That's Peter Major, Director for Mining at the Modern Corporation Solutions. Modern Corporate Solutions, joining me to reflect on the diamond production numbers being the lowest they've been in 10 years. This top story was brought to you by Genfin, proud to support South African enterprises for sustainable success.
When your business needs finance to get things done, who do you turn to? At Genfin, we realize that you need to stay focused on running your business. So let us do the work and get your business loan approved in 24 hours. For loans up to 5 million rand, from as little as 10% for 3 months, apply online at genfin.co.za. Genfin, we get it done.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.